I ran marketing departments in corporate America for 10 years and then ran a digital agency for over another 10 years. So I know the roadmap to online success, and that formula always includes producing content to share your message, from your marketing message to sales and delivery. Hi, I'm Jennifer Neal, and you're listening to The Content Toolbox. I believe the secret to finding and creating raving fans online is through you. In building relationships through stories that share who you really are, create genuine, crazy, raving fans that keep begging you to take their money. And on this podcast, we'll be talking strategies, tactics, tips, and more with myself and other industry experts. So buckle up and start your engines, because it's go time. Welcome back, you guys. We have today Miss Stephanie Hill Manuel, and she has graciously volunteered to kind of sit on the hot seat today and get a little content advice. So I am super looking forward to this, but welcome, Miss Stephanie. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm excited and nervous all at the same time. I figure. It's fine that, you know, I'm sharing this weakness of not having the marketing side, because that's not what I teach. So that's perfectly okay. Yeah. So I can give a little 30 second spiel about me.
Yes, I am
a crazy cat lady. Thank you. Crazy cat lady. I know you have a cat. So love that. I have four right now and an Aussie puppy. That is my husband's responsibility. I'm normally from Massachusetts, but I'm hiding at my mother-in-law's down in Florida, which we are loving. And yes, I drove my whole family down here and it was exhausting, but totally worth it. Professionally, I graduated with a bachelor's degree in business and started working at a local museum, actually, in their HR and finance, but then went on to Fortune 500 companies, ending with this last company, General Dynamics, which is a contractor for the Navy. Mm-hmm. So when I was moving into project management from finance within that company, I wanted to create more change and efficiencies. So I ended up as the manufacturing project manager building battleships for the U.S. Navy. So kind of a crazy, very hyper-specific kind of role. It was very cool, super rewarding. I've been on them. They're enormous. But yeah, I wanted to branch out into consulting because I really wanted to help small business owners succeed and, you know, get everything they need without burning out behind the scenes, which I had seen a lot happen in corporate. And so, you know, kind of working with smaller businesses to help them avoid the challenges I see happening in companies that are making billions of dollars. So that's me in a nutshell.
Oh, that is, I love it. You have the most amazing background. I super love it. And you guys, Stephanie and I have already chatted several times before and like totally nerded out over this. So before we actually dive into her content, I just want to share a little bit more about you. For one thing, I know like one of the questions that I get all the time is how do you deal with project management as an agency or for yourself, like handling all this stuff? And I'm always like, it's the project, the tool isn't the thing that makes the thing. It's more about like how you're going to use it. And Stephanie totally blew my mind with this, because so tell us what project management tools you were using while managing the building of battleships. This is crazy.
We used Excel. Fancy Excel spreadsheets that we would bake ourselves or use, you know, a template that somebody had created. And it was funny because some of the tools, you know, and I'm using quotation marks for those who can't see me, is they were named after people who had worked there. So it was like, you know, it'd be like the Hill Manual method. And it's like, that's a person who literally had worked here, but because they had created the spreadsheet that then it was just got used, you know, that became like a little legacy. So yeah, we used fancy Excel spreadsheets to manage, track, and perform all different functions. It was crazy. But that's why I get, you know, I think it's so funny when people think that they need these like fancy, expensive project management tools to make their company run. And it's like, no, the concepts are there regardless. You need to understand them without the limitations of, you know, this many characters or this many functions and all that stuff. Like those are noise. They're distractions, honestly.
Right. Oh, I love that. I mean, okay, you guys, it's all about the people and the processes, not necessarily the tools. Like they're a prime example. And speaking of people and processes, Stephanie, tell us how you work with clients and how you're helping people out.
So I'm coming out with a group model, but I've currently worked one-on-one because I just love being able to dive into people's businesses. So we basically go through this profit mapping process where I get a feel for every part of their business. I mean, we brain dump to get like even the littlest projects and the littlest, you know, nuances out there. I want to know every contractor. I want to know their financials, everything about their business, because it really touches every point of it. And then I say, okay, what are your goals? Like, you know, what's your vision for your company? Because a lot of people start down journeys that are not going to get them where they want to go. And they don't, you know, they won't realize that until a couple of years down the road. So I look at their end result and I say, okay, what do we need to get there? And what metrics do we need to track? And that's another kind of eye opener for people, is that you can track how things are going, you know, in this online space, and then be able to tweak, you know? And so if you find that one method isn't working, you change it. And it's the same with project management tools even, you know, if you find that one isn't working for you, you can switch to another one. I'm switching my schedule calendar because I just was like, you know what? I don't like this one anymore. There's like 10 others. I'm going to switch my scheduling tool. You have that kind of flexibility. So it's not about getting the person to use this method or this tool or this process. It's about finding what works for each individual person and tailoring their business around them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so awesome. Okay. So you mentioned that right now you're working one-on-one and you are moving to a group model.
Yes.
So I'm guessing leveraging time, like what are your kind of wants for wanting to move to that model?
Yeah. So, I mean, it is a little bit leveraging time, but I want to be able to help more people without capping out at just a few. So I work in a few people's businesses very intimately and they tend to rely on me. And that's kind of another kind of issue, is I don't want to have someone rely on me full time. I want to teach their team to be self-sufficient, because we want to remove the owner of the company from the day-to-day interactions and let them spend the time on what they love doing most and what they, you know, income generating activities, and not sending out invoices and contracts and all that stuff. So if they rely on me to do it, it's the same kind of issue. So I'm trying to create a space where they have the skills and the tools to do so, and I can implement that with their team, train their team to be what I am for some of the people that I do right now. So if I can get their team rolling with all the, you know, different nuances of the company and knowing what they need to do exactly, then it can scale and grow from there. But I'm only one person, so if they rely on me, they can't scale and grow.
Exactly. Okay. Awesome. So with that, as you are looking to transition to a group model, and I'm only going through this in such detail because I know that there's 50 million other people out trying to do exactly the same thing that you're doing. So as you are looking to transition, what are some of your ideas on how you're going to find your target audience and be able to kind of fill that group model up?
Yeah. So, and this is why I connected with you, because this is the area that I don't do well in, and it's starting. And it's not even that I do poorly. It's that you don't know what you don't know. And the online space changes constantly. So I started a Facebook group, which is called Women for Profit. Just started it. So I think I told you what it was called. You can tell me.
Yep. Yeah. I'll look it up here really quick, because I know I joined it. So
I think it's called Optimizing for Profit or something like that. So because I really want women to not only, you know, make successful businesses, but take home that money instead. You know, you hear about the stories where people make, you know, a couple million dollars, but they took home the same salary you did in your corporate job. Well, that's not the point of business. So I really want profit to be something that people think about, not just revenue. But anyway, so I started a Facebook group, and I am on Instagram. And I am on Facebook, and that's kind of what I've gotten to at this point. I'm, you know, creating a new calendar link so that I can have questions to kind of pre-qualify people, which is something I haven't done before. I've just given out my calendar link because that seems like something you do. You know, someone says, cool, I want to get on the phone with you, and you give them your calendar link, but there's so much more that goes along with it, and you can correct me all of it.
Oh yeah. No. And listen, you guys, like, Stephanie is going through all of this live here in person with me. So Stephanie, I just want to take a step back and say, first of all, let's congratulate you for what you have done, because you are a systems and processes oriented person. And now you're saying, okay, now I need to figure out this marketing thing. And you've already created a Facebook group and created a Facebook presence and an Instagram presence. Those are big steps. Mm-hmm. Like, congratulations for that. That's amazing. Great start.
Thank you. Well, mentally being okay with starting a Facebook group, like, that was always something that scared me. So I had to get through that. So
yep.
Yeah.
We have done an episode here with Chantal Page Turner on the method that she used to grow her Facebook group. So that'd be a fun one to go check out as well. She just talks about how to sort of set it up and maintain it. And that's it. So, okay. So, and yes, I did look it up. It is Women Entrepreneurs Optimizing for Profit. So make sure you guys go check that group out. Join up, join up. All right. So Stephanie, what are you, let's look at the assets that you already have kind of, put together. So are you already consistently producing content for anything already?
Consistency is a strong word there. No, no, I'm not. I'm, when I think about it, I, you know, post a video or a picture or put some captions to it, but it's like, I get caught up in the what and when situation, you know, how often do you put it? Do you put it on Instagram and not Facebook? Can you put it on both? There's like so many variables that my brain cannot wrap around. I just totally need someone to be like, this is the, what you do.
All right. So the fact that you're already creating some content though, and even with some consistency, like that's awesome. So fantastic. Do you have any kind of a content calendar that you're following?
I don't. And that's what I want to create. I need a content calendar.
Perfect.
I'm good. When I have a system, I follow it. That's my thing.
And you know what? That is so the key. I mean, I know that that's the key, obviously, for your business, but really it's creating that consistency that you kind of have to work from, right? Okay. So have you been, obviously you're a guest on this podcast. Have you been a guest on any other podcasts as well?
Yes, I have been a guest. It's actually in my Instagram on my highlights reel. I did put it there.
Awesome.
I was did a two-part. Yes, I did a two-part with another actually marketing person because she helps newbies. So I'm going to be putting out a little bit of a freebie for her. Well, what's it called when you add something onto someone's program?
A bonus. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm putting a little bonus thing that's like finance when you're first starting out in your business.
Yeah.
So I'll get some there.
That's perfect.
But those are not really my target audience, which is hard. Those are like fresh newbies still in their 9 to 5.
Yeah. Okay. So those are really good assets. Like I'm going to keep those sort of in the bank. I'm going to try to define what I'm doing as I'm walking through this. So you, like anybody listening kind of understand why I'm asking these different questions. Okay. So what I'm trying to do right now is kind of collect the assets of information that you already have to find out what we can set up for repurposing without you even having to create anything extra. If possible, right?
Awesome.
So do you have kind of any like signature talks or topics that you find you're teaching over and over again, whether that's directly to customers or when you've been out on lives or interviews or anything like that?
I've done a lot of talking on hiring VAs and how to about it and how to evaluate the right person and test project and all that good stuff.
Awesome. That's fantastic. Cause that then fits right into your business model. Like people need a VA to be able to run the systems that and processes that you're setting up. Right. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Do you have a program that, well, actually I guess your course would probably be the one leading right into from talking about hiring a VA. Do you have any other products or programs available in between like where your beta group course is going to be or your one-on-one service? Do you have any other offerings in between there?
So I have some digital products that I was rebranding. So I have some digital products that are about like creating processes, SOPs and stuff, and a financial calculator that are just digital cheap downloads to get people started. I don't currently have any offer between that and then this group coaching model because I've only done one-on-one. And I say only because it's been a couple years, but I worked one-on-one retainer in people's businesses. So I'm, like I said, very skilled, but not at this whole online getting new people into a lot of stuff. So no, I don't have any kind of layers. I wanted to focus on one person, one offer, you know, like they say, scale that up. And now I'm ready to kind of change things.
Exactly. And again, I'm going to call out kudos to you for that because
thank you.
It is. It's so true. If you start trying to develop like, oh, I need all of these things in between. But what you told me in that you have some digital products that you're using as opt-ins, lead magnet type things.
They were a Black Friday offer that I put out last year. So, they did well in their little Black Friday offer, and then they haven't been available since then. So I will put them up again. I have a freebie, and then I have a bundle, and then two digital products.
Okay.
And a freebie. So I will have that available.
Okay. And do you have any videos or write-ups or anything where you've talked about like why they need this, what it provides, all those kinds of things?
No, but that's a good idea.
Okay.
I should do a little video kind of explaining how to use it or, you know, what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that can even be kind of almost like a hero's journey kind of style, because you could go through, the reason that you created that product, because I'm sure it came out of working mm-hmm. with clients and it was a need. And you're like, okay, mm-hmm. we really have to figure out how to do this. Right. So tell your story of mm-hmm. how you came up with those and then how it's solving the problems, and make sure that you accurately portray the, what happened before. And then after you created the product, like what the transformation is, how people are mm-hmm. using it and how it's saving time and effort and whatever. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because those,
yeah, I love it.
Even those things, like you already have the products, and whether they're bundled for sale products or you're giving them as lead magnet opt-ins, either way, those are, things that you can use to build your list. And mm-hmm. remember that talking about the how, the how is what you're going to sell or like give away. Mm-hmm. The what and the why is what you're going to talk about in your video, because that becomes really engaging. And don't think that it has to be this 20-minute long thing. Just tell your story and how you created it and how it's helping people. And if that's 2 or 3 minutes or that's 10 minutes or whatever, just that's fantastic content. And also becomes core content that can be repurposed into other little bits, right?
Awesome.
Okay. So trying to think if there's any other, so we have some kind of core topics. You already have some interviews recorded and you can easily create some off of this. I would say for right now that that's probably a good starting place. If you wanted to take it even further, let's dive into like what's phase two would be, mm-hmm. in terms of like topic generation. And then we'll come back and talk about actual production and how you can create your content calendar.
Okay.
So what media do you prefer? Do you find that you do a lot better with writing or on video or audio? Like what's your favorite?
I'd have to say writing is my favorite because it's easier to be able to edit that instead of trying to edit out your stumbling in a video. But I noticed that, you know, to get that, you know, people say the know, like, and trust factor, that my face needs to be in there. So I'm okay if I've written it, practiced it, and then I can record it.
Yep. Okay. That's fantastic. That's really good insight as well. And you can also do things like write it, and then the part that your video that you go on camera about is a story that's helping to illustrate the point.
Ooh.
You don't have to actually perform or do all of your content on video if your preferred method is writing. Does that make sense?
I love that. Yeah. So you write your content and then video the story part. So
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Love
totally.
That.
And the story can be, I also have several episodes where I've talked about this a lot, but sometimes you can use a story as a bridge to where you're telling a personal story about a time. Okay. I'm kind of advancing the process here. Basically, if you look at the topic that you wanted, that you were talking about, and you're like, okay, why is this important? Well, because it's helping people save time. They need these processes. Okay. But why do they need to save time? Well, because they're trying to scale their businesses. Okay. But why? Well, because they have a calling to be able to help more people do, you know, whatever it is, right? And you just keep asking why until you hit a place that's like a core value or a core emotion. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So then what I call the
worst four-year-old ever.
Yes. It totally is. Yes. Why? But then you'll feel it. You'll know, oh, that's mm-hmm. what this is really about. And mm-hmm. then what I like to do is say, think of another time in your life when you felt that same way. Or an example that illustrates that core value or whatever it is that you land on. That can become your story. And it doesn't even have to be scripted. It's because it's your mm-hmm. story, right? Just illustrate your story, and you're telling all of the details and sharing the minutiae, and you're walking through all of those things and really describing it so that people can actually put themselves there. And then you point out those feelings and you really illustrate what that feeling is and how important it was. And then your own transformation. And then you say, this is exactly how I feel about this, which is included in this blog post and thing. So it's a bridge across. Or you can also tell stories that help to illustrate your point, meaning tell stories about how clients have engaged with this tool, or how you... First, I know one of the stories people love to hear from me is how I like started creating the content machine process, and I literally tried and failed like 3 times. And so I go through how I failed, what I learned. Okay. And then I'm trying again, but just to illustrate, you know, how I came up with this or why it's important or whatever. Is that kind of helping?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So stories are much easier to record so you're not feeling like you have to be an authority on camera. Still write your own content. Okay. So, do you have a website with a blog set up on it?
I do have a website. No, but I had recorded some podcast episodes way back when. That are up there. And so I was really interested in, I'm trying to go to my website while I'm talking. and I spell it wrong. ElevateWithStephanie.com.
There you go. Oh, wait, say it one more time so everybody can go.
ElevateWithStephanie.com, spelled the normal way, Stephanie.
Perfect.
that is my website. Yes. At the very bottom of my website, there is actually these podcasts where I had recorded basically just business journeys that people had, because I thought that was really fun to kind of hear. I mean, I have people that are way different than each other, which is fantastic. So there is someone that's just starting out and starting a modest clothing company. And then there's somebody, you know, who's a business coach, and there's another person who's like a Squarespace website builder. So there's just like, I loved their business journey. So those are on my website. That's all I have as supplemental information.
That's great. Okay. That's content that you can repurpose as well. So I would say with all of that, and by the time we go through the repurposing strategies, that this is probably going to give you, I would imagine, a good 3 to 6 months worth of content, depending on how much you kind of end up repurposing here. So I'm going to circle back, and before we get into content repurposing, I want to take a step back into kind of the core strategy of content marketing. So, the path. So let's see, we always want to start with, our customers. So in terms of avatar work, and I'm assuming that you've already done a lot of this. So here's what I like to do. And actually, like, you'll want to go map this out pretty consistently. You want to map out, figure out what their pains are, what are their desires, and what are the things that they need to be able to like get to the next step. And then as you go through that, you will probably start to identify that different people, like you mentioned, you know, there's newbies, their needs are going to be a lot different than people who are more experienced. So you may have several avatars. And you're also then going to think about what is your customer journey look like, meaning the buyer cycle. So all the way from when they're just finding you through marketing and they're becoming aware, like they're just problem aware, and then they're researching, and then they're in the decision mode, and then they're in the sales mode, and then they're into delivery, upselling, and referrals. So what your customer journey looks like, because at each one of those stages, as people are going through it, their needs and their desires are going to change. And the messaging that you want to share to help them at each one of those stages is going to change, because you want to make sure that you're addressing the needs and desires that they have at those steps. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Can you give an example of what that would look like?
Sure. Let's see. So if we have, okay, let's take you and kind of walk through this here. So your ideal avatar, the person that you are ideally after, who is that person and what are their like overall needs?
So I love working with life and mindset coaches, but mostly just female coaches. I do like to work with them. I think that's a personal thing. They're just lovely people usually. So their needs are to create consistent, you know, good income and kind of scale up, but they're usually more focused on serving their clients because they are, you know, that's the type of person they are. They just want to serve their clients. They just want to, you know, give, and that's fantastic, but they're ignoring all the rest of their business stuff. You know, they didn't go to business school. They don't care about that kind of stuff, but they need it to work. You know, they need their business to have a solid foundation so that they can grow and scale. You know, they might be fantastic marketing people, but if they have, you know, 20 new clients that come in tomorrow, can they actually handle that many, you know?
Yep.
And, you know, are they prepared to have their, you know, onboarding process automated so that they're not sending out individual invoices to every single person?
Right. Okay. Awesome. So these are, it sounds like we're talking about kind of experienced business people. And they're selling stuff and they've run out of bandwidth, time, some resources, I would imagine, like some of their personnel, just everybody's and feeling frustrated, overwhelmed. So when they
usually they have like a VA or two, but they're kind of working on a very specific things, like a VA that's just handling Pinterest or something like that. Right. But the VA is not an extension of them. Therefore, they cannot step away from any part of it. They're still doing everything and then micromanaging their VAs as well.
Yep.
So they are kind of burnt out of resources a little bit too.
Okay.
But they've capped their time, capped their resources, capped their ability, but they want to help more people.
Okay. So at this point, they're realizing that they need a more, I'm assuming here, and I'm guessing that you've done some market research, so correct me if not. But we know that what they need are more efficient systems. Do they know, are they aware of that at the beginning of this process? Like at that stage, are they saying, I need some systems? Or do they just say, I need
help? That's not normally the... Yeah, they usually think like I need help and think they just need to hire more help. But the problem of throwing money at the wall is the same as throwing spaghetti at the wall and seeing what sticks. You know, they might hire the first OBM that pops out of nowhere and be like, oh, perfect, you can solve my problems. But they don't know, is that the right person? Are they, you know, qualified to work with you specifically in your industry? Are they a reasonable price? Are they gonna, you know, if you don't know the result that you're supposed to end up with, you have a hard time evaluating if they're worth it.
Yep. Okay. All right. So what this tells me is that in the marketing phase and the place where we're wanting to catch people's attention, right now they're aware, I have a big problem. I'm frazzled. I need help. So if you're talking about don't waste any more money and okay, guys, like I suck at the copywriting part. This is why I have copywriters, but basically like don't waste, you know, stop wasting money on your next, or if you're, I don't know, whatever, like if you're planning on throwing away a bunch of money because you're planning on making a next hire, or quit wasting money hiring the wrong people, or whatever kind of fits into your messaging. But if that's what their big needs are at that point, then messaging around how to hire your VA and do those things, like that's going to help catch their attention at the marketing phase. Their desires also are in being able to serve more people. Mm-hmm. And so there may be a play that you could do there as well with calling them out specifically, you know, is your business, you know, the screaming monster in the back seat that's just like throwing a temper tantrum and you just want to get to where you can serve more people. So there could also be some messaging around addressing their desires. Now, the away from pain is always going to be stronger than towards the desires, but it's worth kind of trying to test both of them. And at that point, my experience with business owners at that point as well is, yeah, they're always throwing money at something, either people or tools. And so a lot of it is, you know, tools. So you could even address something like that. And I mean, you could even bring in your lead magnet. That is what one of your freebie lead magnets, if this fit in something like quit wasting money, buying another project management system, I'm going to give you mine for completely free and give them a training, but also like you could almost tongue in cheek it and be like, this is amazing. Like this is literally has built battleships and I'm going to tell you exactly how to use this system. And really, hey, it's an Excel sheet. Guess what? You already have it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. Like it's about the process, right? So you're bringing them into mm-hmm. that education process. Is that kind of making sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
I know everyone's always like play up the battleships. And I'm like, I know, it's just so funny.
It's amazing. It's an amazing story. I mean, I can see all sorts of visuals with like you and an Excel spreadsheet and a battleship behind you or something, like just total eye catching, right? That's what we want, is those major pops. Apparently mm-hmm. I think in visuals. So, so then like, if we follow this through the process and we say, okay, that's some ideas for marketing. Then as they opt in and they're moving into that, research and decision-making process, you know, in the research process, you can have more extensive articles, blogs, published on your site that, since that's mm-hmm. the form that you like, write more information and you're just going to include more that's talking about their pains and their desires, and you can share case studies and you can share, how the processes help save time and whatever it is that how you're helping people, make sure that you're providing information at that resource step in the customer journey. I'm trying to keep this kind of still making sense. So the next step is like, after they've opted in, you're going to have their email address and possibly text phone number. And like, you'll have some of their information. So that point, your medium is going to shift to texting or emails or, you know, whatever, like it won't completely shift, but that's where some of your automation gets involved. So at that point, they're into the decision-making process. So what we want to do at that point is you want to share. So like at that point, I don't know what their pains and desires would be, but I would guess that we would start getting into some of the top objections, which typically are internal and external. Like, is this the right system? Will it work for me? Can I do it? And then, you know, do I have the resources, time and money to be able to make this happen? So if you're providing information still around your topics, but that are addressing the internal external concerns at the decision-making time, then that's still providing your content, but in a different way. Like it's giving them what they need right there. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then obviously like after they onboard and they're in your program, the things that they need are the next steps and how you can continue to help them or how they can go forth and like whatever the kind of the next steps are. But, that is going to be around sharing with more people and, bringing referrals into you and those kinds of things. So does that kind of illustrate the customer journey?
Yeah, no, I like that.
Okay. We'll see you guys on the next episode. Thanks so much.